All right, we're going to be looking at Psalm chapter 106 this evening. Thank you for being here tonight. I appreciate your faithfulness and being in place. Seems like the book of Psalms, you could preach out of the book of Psalms pretty much forever. Okay, 150 chapters. I make sure in my Bible reading each year, certain books I read more than others, and Psalms is one of those books. And there's just so much in a lot of the things that Psalms talks about. It's referencing back to certain things that have already been taught in other parts of the Bible, other stories that are mentioned in the Bible that you can reference back to. And so it's just a great, great book. And we're going to be looking at that this evening. Everything that we do has consequences, particularly when we decide things that have warnings that we don't do, that we don't follow. There's consequences built into those actions. Yet we tend to, as human beings and in our sinful nature, think that if these things we're not supposed to do, it doesn't necessarily apply to us, right? We think that, you know, that's just something that if I do that, bad things won't happen to me. Bad things only happen to other people. We have the tendency to believe that we can ignore warnings because we're different than other people. And here's the big one. We all think that we are the exception to the rule, right? I mean, we know that there's something that's not good, but, you know, you don't know me. I'm the exception to the rule, when the fact of the matter is nobody is the exception to the rule. And when we ignore things in the scripture, particularly warnings, it's the same thing as ignoring warnings in life. You will suffer the consequences. I was reading a story. There was a 20-year-old girl, her choir, she was a college student from South Dakota, and her choir took a trip, and they were somewhere in I believe, Arkansas in some of the mountains, and they were seeing some of the sights, and she decided that she was going to take a selfie. And there was a sign there that says, you know, danger, don't go past this, because she wanted to take a picture of herself on a cliff. Because, you know, after all, you know, that backdrop would be great. And so she ignored the warning signs, and she went past where she should, and she got as close to she could as the cliff to take the selfie. And you know the story, right? She slipped and fell to her death. All because she didn't heed a warning. They did a study a few years ago, and they found that over the last several years, 250 people had died simply from ignoring warnings to get a better selfie. Yeah. But why would people do that? Why would they ignore the danger? And there's a sign right there, don't go past this. Warning, falling down. Because we all think that that's not us. That's somebody else. And we need to get past that because it is not true. I have found that when it comes to what God tells us in the Bible, that a lot of Christians, they feel like these people, right? We feel like we can ignore God's warnings and we can get away with it. I call that the Lot's wife principle. She believed God enough to leave the city because God was going to destroy it, but yet when God said simply, don't turn around and look at it, she felt she could get away with it. That didn't apply to her. Because think about it, if she really believed that, she would have, that what God said was true, she would have known that turning around to take a look was committing suicide. She didn't think it would happen to her. I can get away with it. Christians believe that nothing bad will help what happened to them because after all, they are I'm the exception to the rule. That's the Peter principle. When Jesus said, hey, you're all going to forsake me and I'm going to run and you're going to bail on me, Peter's like, everybody will do that, but not me. I'm different. I'm the exception to the rule. And we found out that Peter wasn't. Many Christians believe that consequences for sinful actions are for other people. When I think of that, I think of David. David took a lady in his boredom to be with, whom he knew was married to somebody else, whom not only was she married to somebody else, she was married to one of his mighty men, one of his mighty warriors, who at that moment was out on the battlefield fighting for David's country. Yeah. And then he sent her home like, hey, one-time thing, there's not going to be any consequences. But we know the story, there was consequences. I want us to see this principle played out tonight as it's mentioned here in Psalms chapter 106 in God's people. Let's look at Psalm 106. The psalm starts out with a thanks to God and a promise for those who will live righteously. Look at verse 1. He says, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. By the way, if you read the book of Psalms, you see that phrase all over it, and it's true. God is good, and his mercy does endure forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth his praise? Blessed are they that keep his judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all time. God promised blessing to them if they would just do right and do what God told them to do. But if we know the history of the Israelites and you read through the psalm, we see that that is not what happened. Fact of the matter is, their sin and rebellion started right when they came out of Egypt. Look at verse 6. He says, for we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. You know when they started giving God a hard time and started disobeying? Immediately. They were griping at the Red Sea, and then once they got over that, and the Egyptians that were chasing them were drowned, 3 days later they started griping and complaining. They just didn't get it. It started right away. And then it continued when they were in the wilderness. Look at verse 13. They forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. That's probably why that's why they ended up spending 40 years in the wilderness. That rebellion that is innate in all of us that we have to rebuke and to put into check took over immediately. They just didn't listen. And then we get to verse 34. And this is when they are getting into the promised land. Even then, look, what they had already started to disobey God, and even that new generation, when they got into the promised land, it wasn't long before they started heading south. Verse 34. They did not destroy the nations whom the Lord commanded them. You see, here's what God wanted. Turn over to Numbers chapter 33 real quick. I want us to see these verses. God had given them a lot of instruction. The law books, particularly once you get past Exodus, a lot of the law books is preparing and dealing with them, preparing them for when they're going to get into the promised land. We talked a little bit about how they got in the promised land this morning. And God gave them some very specific instructions. Numbers chapter 33, and we'll look at verse number 52. He told them that he wanted them separated. Okay? Then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their, this is interesting, pictures, and destroy all their molded images, and quite pluck down all their high places. He said, I don't want you interdwelling with these folks. Now, when he's talking about their pictures, he's not talking about their Instagram account, okay? He is talking about pictures that are related to idols, right? I remember when we started the church, we were Cambodian Baptist Church at that time, and we'd do a lot of visits, and we're down in the area. And I don't know if it's true, it's now, but the Cambodians that came in, they used to have all these weird full-color pictures on their walls of like little baby, I don't know if it was a baby Buddha or what it was, and it was all related to Buddhism. And to be honest with you, the pictures just look freaky. They look weird. But that's the kind of stuff he's talking about. He goes, I don't want you intermingling with them, and I don't want you to have anything to do with their form of worship. I want you to obliterate it and get rid of it. Verse 53, and ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. They're gone, and it's your land. You got to get rid of them. Verse, and then he also mentioned this. There would, and this is where we're going, so stick with me. This is introduction, and we'll get the plane in the air. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. He says you're going to have problems. They're going to do nothing but cause issues to your relationship with me in the land that I'm giving to you. And by the way, their success in the land and their ability to maintain the land and keep it and have God's blessing was all dependent on their obedience to God. And he said, if you don't take care of these people, you don't get them out, what's going to happen is they're going to be thorns in your sides and they're going to cause issues. Verse 56, moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall, now this is key here, that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. You understand that? And we're going to, it seems a little cruel what God's here is doing with these people in the land, but I'll explain it in a minute. He says, the things I'm going to do to them, to judge them for what they've been doing for hundreds of years, he goes, it's going to end up happening to you if you don't deal with this, if you don't get rid of them, if you don't separate yourselves from them. Here's what's going to happen. The specific consequence, and we're going to see it as we go back to Psalm chapter 106. They became subject to the very people that they were to separate from. Okay, go back to our text in Psalm and look at verse 41. And he, because they didn't listen, he gave them into the hand of the heathen. And they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them. And they were brought into subjection under their hand. Do you see that there? These were the people they were supposed to deal with and get rid of and to have the land to themselves and have a clean, unpolluted land. And he said, if you don't deal with them, what's going to happen? You're going to end up being under them. You're going to be subject unto them in addition to the judgment that I will bring upon you. If we know history, we know that's exactly what happened. Why did it happen? Because they did not separate from that which God told them to separate from. We talk about separation. Separation is just obedience to God and getting away from that which God says we ought to get away from. That's it. You can give it a lot of different definitions, but it's like if God says it's not good, if God says it's wrong, get away from it.
Amen.
That's what separation is. Separation isn't just for the sake of separating. I just want to see how separate I can be. That's not the principle. The principle is I'm getting away from that which God says is hurtful and harmful in my life. I don't want it to be there because I want to have the Christian life and I want to have the relationship with God that He wants me to have. Separation is for the sake of spiritual safety. I had a message a few weeks ago. Why do we separate? We separate from so we can separate to. We get away from something so we're where God wants us to be. So that brings spiritual safety. It brings a spiritual righteousness in our life because we're obeying God. It also brings spiritual blessing. Their blessing was not going to come you're going to keep the land because they had a strong army. Nope, because there was times they didn't have a strong army and they still beat the other armies, because God was in charge and they were doing what he said. And it was for the sake of their spiritual relationship. They could stay close to God. So this is the message. If you don't separate from that which God tells you to, you can become subject to that very thing that God said to separate from.
Amen.
It's going to take you down. That's what it's all about. It's not, well, look at me, you know, I'm blah, blah, blah. No, I don't want to be tripped up in my Christian life. I don't want my Christian life to go downhill because I'm not listening to God and staying away from that which would absolutely obliterate my Christian life. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I want to avoid that. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. You understand the difference between the two. Here's what Satan wants us to do. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy our life. We separate from all that nonsense so that we can have life and we can have it more abundantly. That's the point. The thing they were supposed to separate from and the thing that God tells us to separate from will be our spiritual downfall if we're not careful. This is what happened to them. So what led them to becoming subject and under the punishment of that which they should have separated from? What were the mistakes that they made? Let me give you a couple just very briefly tonight, and we'll be done. Number one, they weren't annihilating. Look at verse number 34. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord had commanded them. God said, you take the nations out.
Yep.
You're going to have battle, and you take all of them out. This is not going to be where we divide the land with them, we live together, because with these nations, there was no living in harmony. They were very evil, and they were very wicked. And God said, I'm cleansing the land, I want them out, I want only you living in this land. You have to get rid of it. But what happened is they were disobedient. Because of the complete wickedness and evil of the nations, God wanted them completely destroyed. He did not want them integrated, and he did not want them tolerated. As I've mentioned in several occasions, the idols that they worshiped led them on a path of immorality and lawlessness. It was baked in to their idols. It was baked into their religious system, as it were. They had a total disregard for human life. Murder and crime were just part of it. They had a total disregard for righteous living. The idols had made no righteous difference in their life. In fact, it opened them up to be able to live as unrighteous as they wanted to live, because that had nothing to do with their idol. They can do whatever they want. And then they had a total disregard for their children and the next generation. We're going to look at that in a few minutes. I don't want to talk about that right now. But the children of Israel decided that they would not get rid of the people in the land. They made some of them servants. They thought, hey, we'll keep them in here under servitude. They can do some of our projects and so forth. They made agreements and contracts with them that were financially profitable. They also, in a sense, taxed them to death. When God said, I don't want you to do any of that, I want them out. I want it done. They were just not willing, to be real honest with you, put the effort in to alleviate and annihilate everything there. They thought they could control the nations when they cannot. The complete opposite happened. Read the book of Judges. Once they got into the land, once Joshua was done and he was out of the way, the corruption, because there was people around that they would not get rid of. They want to integrate with them. And then they started intermarrying with them. And the next thing you know, you have the book of Judges, which is a book of confusion. Now, let me just say this. That's the exact same thing that happens to us if we're not willing to annihilate and get rid of that which God tells us to separate from. It just needs to be out of our lives. It needs to be taken out of the way. We try to see good in that which God says is bad. That is the silliest thing I've ever heard. It is so silly in Christian circles. We have Christian magazines that are dedicated to godless entertainment and telling you the spiritual principles in idiotic movies. There are no spiritual principles in a dumb, godless, immoral movie. They'll tell you, let me give you spiritual principles from Taylor Swift. I can give you one. She's unsaved. She's anti-God right now. I hope that changes, to be honest with you. But I'm not going to fuss with her, but I'm not going to listen to music and find a spiritual principle when there's 12 immoral principles.
Come on.
That's like saying, hey, I found dinner. It's in a trash can. It's at the bottom. It is not good. But we just, I want to find the good in it. And you're looking at the good, which is 5 seconds out of a two-hour movie. Okay, move on quickly. It says right here, move on, don't hang. Okay. We try to control that which God says is bad. You can't control it. We are not strong enough to control something that God says don't get involved with. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. I don't know right now on this earth who the strongest Christian is. God knows. But if that person God chose and said, that's the strongest person in the world spiritually, they would go down if they started dabbling in this stuff. It's just how it is. We need Jesus and we need obedience. And so the best thing is that, you know, I can overcome this. How about avoidance? But we need to annihilate it. What are you struggling with? And hopefully you aren't, right? That God says you're supposed to get rid of. Is it a sin you're trying to control? I've heard so many Christians say so many ignorant things. And it's probably a result. They're probably in a church that isn't preaching the Bible. I don't know. They're probably not reading their Bible. It's okay to drink as long as you don't get drunk. That is so, I keep wanting to say the word, but some of you say, I don't let my children say that word. I know. That is really, really ignorant.
Yep.
Alcohol, by its very nature, after one drink, starts to hammer at you. By the way, I didn't grow up in church. Now, it shouldn't matter, right? If I grew up in the nursery and I said that, it's true, but I didn't grow up in the nursery. I grew up in the streets. So I'm not stupid. I've experienced it, and I've seen it. By the way, I gave up drinking before I even got right with God. I woke up one morning, I couldn't remember what I'd done the night before, and that happened many times, and I'm like, this is stupid. I'm like, what am I doing? And I'm like, I'm done. I wasn't even righteous. I'm like, I'm done with this. I've seen what it does. You know, you can drink, you can't get drunk. Alcohol gets you right away. That is just beyond ignorant. I mentioned years ago, we had a pastor, somebody on one of these apps, you know, next door. We don't like that church. It's a cult, right? Whatever. They say that about every church. And one church pastor, hey, I want to send you an email. Someone said this about your church. I'm like, well, thank you. I mean, you know, they say it about your church. I mean, any church. So I'm like, I want to check his website out. This is the pastor. His hobbies, watching sports and drinking beer and barbecue. What? How ignorant do you have to be? Well, I can, Pastor, I don't think if you can control, you can't. You can't. You ever see these people, they get these tigers? I'm going to have a tiger as a pet. I'll raise it from its a little child. You know what happens? A tiger is a tiger. It is in their nature. They're going to have one bad day, and they're going to attack you. You know the best way to see a tiger? It's through a metal cage. You're not going to control a tiger. That's its very nature. You can't control these things. Quit trying to control your sin. Here we go. I'm really meddling, but pray for me. It is okay to be physical as long as you're not immoral. Okay. I'm not even going to talk to the men because I don't like the men. Let me talk to you, ladies. If a guy says he can touch you a little bit and be okay with that, he probably, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic, he probably likes other guys. Or he's lying. And he doesn't like other guys. He's lying. Do you know the nature? You know, here's the nature of sin. It has to take the next step. Do you understand that, right? It's like, no, pastor, we're just going to, you know, I think it's okay for me and my girlfriend, we're not married, just to hold hands. You're going to do more.
Yep.
The guy doesn't say, hey, this is enough for me. Come on now.
Come on.
Someone needs to say it.
Come on.
Well, we'll hug.
No.
And then we'll kiss on the cheek. And we'll stop there.
No.
You kill it. We're not doing anything. Pastor, that's old-fashioned. Yes, but it's safe.
Yep, that's right.
But it's safe.
Amen.
The only person you ought to hold, kiss, all the person you marry. Yep. Well, I'm going to marry this person. Good, then wait.
Amen.
You're doing that with somebody else's spouse. And boy, this isn't popular. We'll move on. Because you're not. You can't control it. You can't control sin. I can't control sin.
Come on.
You can't control sin. It's just hard. You know? If we can't control it, we justify it, right? Well, other Christians are doing this, so what? My standard is not what other Christians are doing. My standard is what the Word of God says. Well, it's not like I'm hurting other people. I'm just doing it. Listen, all of us have some type of influence over somebody else. All of us. And so, and by the way, even if you have zero influence over anybody else, you're hurting the Lord Jesus Christ who bought you. And he wants to do better things in your life.
Yes, sir.
And then here we go. We spiritually, we try to sanctify it, right? We try to sanctify the sin. Well, brother, it's okay. I'm under grace. Read Titus. Titus tells us if we're under grace, we'll sin less. Romans says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, no. God forbid. That's his way of saying, no way. It doesn't work that way. We are supposed to sanctify. We are not supposed to sanctify the old life or to kill it, right? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, I've spent a few more minutes on this point than the others, so don't worry about it. He is a new creature. Old things are, the two words there, passed away. We need to have a funeral for that, right? Turn over to Romans chapter number 6. I want to read a few verses here. And the other points aren't as long, so we won't be here very long. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 to 7. See, our old man is supposed to be dead.
Yes.
And the new man is supposed to take over.
Yes.
Right? Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, therefore we, that's the picture of baptism, right? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's what, right? Death, baptize you, and the resurrection. Boom. Okay? That's what it's picturing. Death, burial, and resurrection. Your new life. Verse 5. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, which we have in baptism pictured, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, new life. Knowing this, that our old man, that's not the guy you're married to, is crucified with him, our fleshly man, that the body of sin might be destroyed, not coddled, destroyed. Why would we put ourselves back in a place of something that should have been destroyed? Why would we want to start getting caught up in that again? The answer is we shouldn't. That the body of sin might be destroyed, here we go, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Do you see that? That's the message. God said, get rid of the nations. They didn't get rid of the nations, and because they didn't, those people brought them into subjection. So because we don't live as dead to sin and we don't destroy it, now we're serving it. That sin that we let stay around is now our downfall. For he that is dead is freed from sin. I want to be freed from that stuff.
Yep.
By the way, why do we try? I'm really getting off of this point. We may not even go farther. But why in the world do we, what we want to appease people and be like the world? We're afraid they'll look at us and say, you Christians are different. We ought to look at that and say, thank you. It's a compliment. And we're not different because we're better than you, by the way. Get rid of that Pharisaical spirit, right? We're not better than them. We've been redeemed by the grace of God. Let's just live in it. But we want to be cool and we want to be just like that. So we see how close we can get to the line. That's dangerous. That is so dangerous. We are dead to sin. We are free from it. It's like saying, hey, you were in a jail cell and 20 years or whatever, and you're free, and you look at that jail cell, I'm going back. Why? Well, you get free meals. Okay. Pretty sure they're not gourmet. You know? We're supposed to destroy it. We better hurry. Number two. We aren't avoiding. Look at verse 35. But we're mingled among the heathen. And here's why you don't mingle. You ready? And learned their works. The problem is we don't avoid it. And so we learn everything we can. We end up learning everything we can about it, and it influences our life. By the word mingled is very, 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 very interesting word. It's, you could really say that's the Old Testament word for fellowship.
Yeah.
Now think about this. We think how many of you have had Thanksgiving fellowship with your Sunday school class, right? Woo! That's good, right? And that means we hung around, we ate together, we talked about food, and you know, blah blah blah, and we just, you know, it was casual talk. That's okay. That's fellowship, but it's not really fellowship. Fellowship is a friendship that's deeper than just eating together. Fellowship is a close, connected friendship based on shared beliefs and shared values. That's what fellowship is. The reason with Christians we can resonate with, I don't like hanging around Christians. That says a lot about you, not Christians. Well, I feel more comfortable about with unsaved people. That's not a rebuke to Christians. That's a rebuke to you. You need to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
I've heard people say that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I just don't like these Christians. I just have more in common with the unsaved, and I just get along with them better. That's a you problem.
Yeah, right.
How in the world can you be? Look, here's a, if I could not have fellowship with somebody that was constantly criticizing and saying bad things about my wife. I'm not going to have it.
Nope.
Oh, it's just my buddy, you know? We're friends. He just hates my wife. Hates your family. That's ignorant.
Yep.
Why would we be around someone that hates Christ?
Come on.
And then say we feel more comfortable. Could it be the reason we want to mingle with them and we can have fellowship with them? Here we go. You ready? It's because our values are closer aligned with them than with Christians. Our values are more in line with the unsaved world than Scripture. Don't let people pull this knot. They'll tell you that. They get on this, well, you know, that church over there, I just don't like that. I know, because you like the world. And I'm not trying to be mean-spirited, but you want to spit, I'll spit back. You're not hurting us. And I'm not talking about you, because people do that. Pastor, we should be concerned. Someone got on, you know, Instagram and said, you know, our church does this and we shouldn't do that. It's bad. It's because they don't want to have fellowship with those kind of values.
Yep.
It's not a us problem, it's a them problem. And I'll put my stake in the ground on that.
Yep.
Amen. So we need to be very careful. How can we have a close relationship with that which is anti-God? That's why we need to avoid some things at all costs. There's no way we can be completely committed to God if we're compromising with the world. Oil and water doesn't mix. And I'm not saying you can't, look, what are you saying, Pastor? I can't talk to my friends, people at work? No, I'm not saying that. You know what I'm saying. But if all your friends are people that are anti-God, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And by the way, those people at work, if you care about them and you're friendly with them, let me ask you this. Have you ever told them you're a Christian? Have you ever told them about the Lord Jesus Christ? That's a good thing. There's guys I'd worked with, and they weren't Christians. They were doing things, and I'd sit there and have, sometimes we sit down and eat together, and they knew I was a Christian, and I would talk to them about that. They knew, and I'd tell them about the Lord. I'm very grateful that several of those guys, after I left, they got saved. Maybe I was the problem. I'm not sure. A couple of them called me back, said, hey, after you left, all that, I got saved.
Amen.
My family, we're going to church now.
Amen.
Now, you say, well, that doesn't always happen. I know, but at least you can do the right thing. Aren't we there to give them a testimony? How can we give them a testimony if we're doing the same thing they're doing?
Yeah.
We can't. I want to be an influence for Christ. Don't excuse what's going on. Well, what's wrong with this? Read the Bible. Well, that's not my conviction. I know, but is it God's truth? Well, I just don't agree with that. Okay, what's right though? Maybe you're right, but if it's in the Scripture, I can't. There's so many things. As a new Christian, I read that like, what? You gotta be kidding me. Like, you sure about that? Because that's not how I live. And somebody had to change. And what's the song we sang about the Bible? If there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with me. Okay? The only question is this when it comes to things. What does the Bible say? What does it? I'm not going to read through it, but if you read through 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 17, I won't for the sake of time. All these different things. What concord hath Christ? What part? What agreement? These are all friendship. And God, he gives two different things. He says, listen, one's spiritual, one's not, one's right, one's wrong. And these fellowship type words he's using, he's like, you can't. You just can't. If we're be honest, the reason we don't want to sometimes is we just don't want to change. Number three, look at verse 36. And they serve these idols, which were a snare unto them. The third thing is, the reason we get caught up is because we aren't anchored. What do I mean? We're not anchored to the truth, so we're not protected by the truth. So what happened is, they started to hang out with the people, they mingled with them, and then they took the next step. What's the next step? Well, you're going to serve their idols. That's why you got to be careful who you hang around with, because who you hang around with, who you allow to influence you, is going to push you towards the way you're going to live. You say, well, it's just a friendship. I know, but it's going to lead to you, now not necessarily worship them, their idols, but you're going to have the things in your life that they have in their life, which are things God says you shouldn't have in your life.
Right. Amen.
You got to be very careful with that.
Yep.
They were tempted because of it, and they gave in, so they became unfaithful through idols. None of them, I guarantee you, none of them thought when they went into the land that they would get to the point where they forsake God and serve idols. I'm pretty sure none of them thought that.
Yep.
But that's always the end game. That's always the result. That's just what happens. You know what our goal should be with stuff like this? To avoid it at all costs. Well, Pastor, I know stuff's going to come my way and temptations are going to come and I'm just going to fight it. I'm going to be strong. You're not. You're going to give in to that. You say, well, the Bible says there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. And, you know, you can have victory and all that stuff. It's like, that's for the temptations that come as you're living a righteous life. But when you purposely put temptations in front of you, you will not win that battle. You already lost it when you invited the temptation. Right? But come on, let's just be real here. You know? I've heard people tell me, well, you know, we're living together, but, you know, I sleep on the couch. I look in the mirror. Does it say stupid here? I'm like, you may sleep on the couch tonight. You won't be in a week. You know, I had a relative, and they were, you know, they had some drinking problems in the past, and they were going, I don't know if they were going to AA or whatever. It sounded like they were going to AAA. The advice was so bad. They're like, here's what you got to do to get over your alcohol. Go to the bar, but don't drink. And they told me that. I said, that is the most ignorant thing I've ever heard. It's like, no. There's no strength in standing in front of it. The strength says, I ain't going anywhere near it. That's the strength. Avoid it, okay? Got to be very, very careful. You read the prayer of Jabez. You read Jesus, what he gives us, the model prayer. Both of them, Jabez, his prayer was that thou wouldest keep me from evil. I don't want to have to fight it, Lord. Keep me away from it.
Yeah.
Jesus said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. See, what we want to do is we only want the back part of that. Deliver me from evil because I'm allowing the temptation. No. Don't allow the temptation in the first place.
Amen.
Okay? Strength is not defeating temptation, strength is avoiding it.
Yep.
Next, we aren't armored. Look at verse 37. Yea, now this is the really bad part. Now they get polluted and they are not protected because of what they've done. Verse 37, yea, they sacrifice their sons and their daughters unto devils. And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Say, Pastor, why was God so mean to these nations? Because their worship involved sacrificing babies. That was baked in. It was immoral. And some of the gods, you would have a party where you're immoral while the baby is in the process of being sacrificed on red-hot arms of the idol. Is there any doubt why God wanted those nations destroyed? When a society gets to the point where children are no longer protected, they're done. Done. Those that cannot protect themselves are at risk because of the adult in the land. We're done. We're done. And I would hate to stand before God. And that's what they did. They were sacrificing their own children And they started to do what they did. Is that any difference? Kind of look, I don't want to harp on it, but that's abortion.
Yep.
Absolutely abortion. We want the practice of immorality and the killing of the consequence, which is the child. And you can sit here and give me all your lame, ignorant, and repulsive excuses for it, but that's all they are.
Yep.
It's wholesale murder.
Amen.
And our land is polluted.
Yeah,
we don't have an idol down the street where immorality is happening, why a baby is on Baal's arms, literally sizzling to death. But we do have the temples. It's on Long Beach. It's on Pacific Avenue here. It's called Planned Parenthood. Huh? That's what it is. We don't. And by the way, now they're going after the children with transgenderism. Let's rip their bodies apart. I read the book on Thursday night. If you weren't here because you were out of town, you might want to listen to that. They're going after the children.
Yep.
We got to affirm them. Affirm them by taking a knife to their body? What is wrong with us? That any adult with an IQ higher than a rock would sit there and try to logically debate for that is reprehensible.
Come on. Amen.
Mm. Yeah. I better move on. I'm getting really upset. That it's just horrible. But that's where our land has gotten to. And by the way, Christians will vote for these people. Thank God enough of them didn't a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this person's bad. Are they killing babies? Are they mutilating children's bodies?
Yeah.
Are they giving pornographic books in our grade school?
Oh yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
In our state they are. Our governor signs off on it. Lastly, I don't want to get upset. We aren't abstaining. We're just not staying away. We're not staying away from it at all. Look at verse 39 and just read all the bad things that happened. They were defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Defiled means polluted or unclean. You notice how God said the land was polluted with the blood of the children they were sacrificing to these altars. And he says they were polluted too. You're dirty. See, it's not about doing what I want to do. It's like, am I seeking to try to be clean in the sight of God? Amen. Therefore, was the wrath of God kindled against his people in so much that he abhorred his own inheritance. Got to the point where he's upset with them. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Here's the deal, and we're done. I got several pages, but we're done here. If we're not careful with the things that God tells us to be careful to, we're going to be brought under its power. That's just all there is to it. And if you read it, here's what happens. The land suffers. Our country is in trouble. And I don't want to blame all on Christians, but a lot of it's on Christians because Christians don't believe different than unsaved people. If we wanted to have revival, here's how it would happen. If tomorrow every person that claimed to be a Christian actually started living and acting like one, this land would change overnight.
Yeah.
Overnight, but they don't. So the land gets corrupted, then our lives get messed up, and then we harm our children.
Yeah.
And no Christian would ever say, I'm going to purposely harm my child like they purposely did, but let me just tell you something. We're a little slicker about it. We're not as careful. And if we're not careful in our Christian life, our children will suffer.
Yeah.
They just will. Amen. I hope you love your family enough to take your faith and present it to them.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But we have to be careful. I don't want us to fall. I don't want to fall under the condemnation of these sins because I simply did not listen to God and separate from them. I want to trust him enough to say, look, you know, the flesh wants to, like, let's go, but the spirit... I want to follow the Spirit, which says, uh-uh. Because I don't want to be subject to that which I'm supposed to separate from. Let's bow our head and close our eyes tonight, if we may. I wasn't trying to be mean-spirited, except when it comes to some of those things. But I want us to understand that we have a spiritual enemy that is so good. He is so good, right? At getting us hooked into that which we should be away from. Let's be very careful about that. Let's just take the Bible at face value. Let's read it and let's heed it. Let's not excuse it. Let's not look around at others. Let's say, God, what do you want for my life? And if God's against it, I'm against it. If God says stay away from it, I'm going to stay away from it. Because if not, that thing that you ignore that God said could be the beginning of your spiritual downfall, and not just yours, but your family. Now, what's the opposite to that? When we follow God, and during the times that the Israelites follow God, they had peace in the land. They had the blessing of God on their land. They had the protection of God in their land. And the next generation did pretty good. What do you choose tonight? Let's stand together. I don't know what God spoke to you about. I said a lot of things. But if God spoke to you tonight, why don't you come?